Hey everybody and welcome. My name is DeCourcy Williams and this is the Uplifting Words Podcast, and thank you very much for joining me, and I wish you all peace, love, and happiness. Yes, I did take 2 weeks off, so very belated Merry Christmas to all, Happy Holidays, and then Happy New Year, because here we are in 2021. And I don't want people to think that just because the New Year flipped over that everything that we've been going through in 2020 is just going to magically erase itself. It's going to take a little bit more work and determination than that. Like most people, I was watching the news and very, very sad to say about what happened on Capitol Hill on, Wednesday or Thursday, when the Trump supporters went out and smashed windows, broke into doors, and stole mail off of elected officials' desks, and people were taking podiums and signs off of doors, and it was pretty horrific. I'm not sure how anybody can still stand behind Trump after all of this, but it really, really shines a light on how scary it is to be a black person in this country. And let me explain. So when Black Lives Matter was protesting, the images from Capitol Hill, it was armed, it looked like military soldiers. They had their SWAT gear and gas masks and all of that stuff on. And this was just with the announcement of Black Lives Matter showing up. So they had already been prepared. But when this unfortunate incident took place, there was lax security. Matter of fact, there was some security that was in on allowing some of the protesters through gates and allowing them into the Capitol building. Unfortunately, there were four casualties. People lost their lives. And one of the people that lost their lives was a security guard who was just trying to do his job and keep the peace. And very, very sad. So I know we all look into coming into 2021 with a whole bunch of hope and optimism, and I don't want this incident to spoil what's in store for all of us in 2021. I still believe this is going to be a great year. I still believe that we have our best times ahead. And actually, I still believe that we're going to be able to come together as a country and somehow find a way to work together. Unfortunately, there is always going to be like fringe groups. There's always going to be people that don't want this this camaraderie of people. There are always going to be some people that just want to watch the world burn, unfortunately. And that's just how it is. Now, something else that I want to talk about today is the people with the cynical nature. The people that don't believe that things are going to get better, or things that are, or that we can come together as human beings. I believe we see examples of that every single day. People putting aside their differences, being able to communicate on an adult level without hurling insults at each other, without screaming and shouting. I still believe in that, and I do believe that that love wins over hate, ultimately. I've always believed that. So, people with a cynical nature, it's a normal thing, unfortunately. And it kind of started way, way, way back in the day when we as human beings were hunted by these big, furry, fanged creatures. Now, one thing that has happened in our evolution as human beings is that our amygdala has not developed. Our amygdala was designed to keep us safe. It was designed to instill that fear. It was designed to keep people from doing something that would potentially lead them to death. But unfortunately, we don't face those situations. Well, fortunately, I should say, we don't face those situations anymore. And it's a constant fight of fighting our amygdalas back to step out of that space of fear and step into courage, step into maybe a place of forgiveness, or step into a place of brotherhood and camaraderie. And it takes a fight. Now, if you're that kind of closed-minded, cynical person that allows their fears to kind of overtake everything that they do, every decision that they make, unfortunately, you're going to miss out on a whole bunch of beauty that is this human life. And there is a lot of beauty out there. There's a lot of good people out here. And there's a lot of people who are willing to help. I know a lot of people also think that they're out all alone, that they're doing things by themselves. That's not the case. You can always find your tribe. You can always find people that are willing to help you. And you can always find people that's going in the same direction that you're going. You just got to put out the energy and look. So what you got to do is become aware of what you're looking for. It takes some self-assessing. And you got to adjust your gaze. Start asking what is good about life. Start asking, instead of asking what can your neighbor do to make life better, what are you going to do to make life better? How are you going to reach out to somebody that you wouldn't normally reach out to? How are you going to banish your amygdala and try to be open-minded and see things from somebody else's perspective? So another thing is accept praise. You know, a lot of people have a problem accepting when somebody's talking good about themselves. You know, that famous question on a job application that says, well, why should we give you this job? Or why should we hire you? Or what are some of your good qualities that would qualify you for a particular job? And I'm telling people to really investigate their good traits and begin to start praising yourself for things that you have done correctly. Let me tell you something. I've been reading the book. I've been reading this book, and it's kind of about self-visualization and how to go into that place where you are a winner and hang on to that feeling that you had. It's called Psycho-Cybernetics. It's by Maxwell Maltz. I suggest anybody read it if they get a chance. But there's a chapter in about creating that winning feeling. And what it involves is anything that happened to you in your past where you won, where you, it was a big deal, you reached this pinnacle of success, and we all have it, whether we want to admit it or not. We've got situations and times in our lives where we won big, and we have this feeling, kind of like this high that you get when you've got that winning feeling. You can tap into that memory. And the way that our brains are set up is that, or the way that our consciousness is set up, is that the consciousness cannot distinguish between something that's happening in real life and something that you're conjuring up in your brain. So you can invoke that winning feeling and transfer it from something in the past to something that you're doing now. So let me give you a perfect example. For myself personally, there was it might seem silly, but there was a basketball game that I was a part of way, way back in my youth. I don't even remember how old I was. I might have been 15, 16, somewhere in that area. But we were in a lock-in at our local YMCA, and there was this team of guys that was playing, and they kept winning. And this team just kept winning. It was probably about 5 or 6 teams, and you know, we would go on rotation because, you know, the winner stays on and the loser sits out for a game or sits out until whenever. But it was this one team, they kept winning all night. They just kept winning. Like every team that stepped up to them, they kept winning. They were older guys too. Back then to me, they were in their maybe late 30s, maybe 40s. But these guys were running the court. I mean, they weren't really flashy. They were just playing smart basketball. They were hitting the shots. And I can just recall this vividly, like it happened yesterday. And I can remember the last game that we played. We were going back and forth. The score was tied. You know, you score by one until you get to like 12. So we were going back and forth. And they went up by 2 points. And then we finally stopped them one time on defense. And then we tied it back up. We never led in that game until the end. And guess who hit the game-winning shot? It was me. The feeling that I got from winning that particular game, it wasn't even anything professional or anything. I mean, yeah, we were at the Y. There wasn't a crowd watching. If you've ever been part of a YMCA lock-in, it's just the kids. There's a couple of adult chaperones there. But it wasn't in front of a crowd. There was no a shot clock buzzer. There was no cheering, adoring fans. But it was just the fact that we beat these guys, finally. And I was the one that hit the winning shot. That feeling of winning, I didn't even play the next game. Like, I remember just being just so elated that we finally beat them. Actually, I think nobody played a game after that. Like, these dudes literally kept winning all night. It was, we started at like 8 or 9 at night, and we kept playing basketball. We finally beat them at like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I don't think there was any more basketball games played after that. These guys finally lost. But anyway, being able to tap into that feeling that I had when I won that basketball game, it's something that, now that I've been practicing it, I've been working on it, it is something, it gives me a feeling that is actually really kind of hard to describe, but I'm literally able to put myself back into that feeling of winning after I hit that shot. And I would suggest anybody do that. Anybody like that, that you've got that time where you won big, you've done something good, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. You can tap into those feelings. You can tap into that and give yourself that success. And whether it be maybe meeting somebody new, maybe introducing yourself to somebody, maybe it could be opening yourself up to talking to somebody that you might not necessarily agree with. You can tap into that feeling, and it won't spark that anxiety. It won't spark the feelings of doubt and depression. As long as you're tapping, I mean, really tapping into that winning feeling, you can. It feels like you can do anything. So I would suggest people give that a try. Tapping into that winning feeling. Don't forget, check out that book, Psycho Cybernetics. Really good book. Really, really good book. Tells you how to kind of hack your mind and, you know, become a winner step by step. And that's what it's all about. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a break. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about leadership. And unfortunately, it seems like that's something that we've been lacking. So I think it's a good time to discuss being a leader. So take a quick break. I'll be right back. Happy 2021, everybody. Hey, everybody. DeCourcy Williams here, and I want to let you know about my new blog site. I call it Corsi's Corner of Online Treasures, but you can just visit www.9w6e.com. Just those four digits, 9w6e.com. You can find all about my Wine of the Month Club, about my healthy brain food, about the Goalie Apple Cider Vinegar Gummies, and so much more. So I invite you guys to join me up there today, read a couple of helpful and informative articles that I have put together, and you know, you never know what you might find up there. So 9w6e.com. Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much for sticking with me. I'm glad you are back. And what I want to talk about in this segment of the podcast is leadership. And it seems like something that we have sorely been lacking here for the last 4 years. I'm so serious about that. But without saying too much about what's actually going on right now, let me tell you, high performance is created through alignment. Alignment is created through clarity. Leaders gives us a sense of clarity. And I think that's why all of this back and forth and bickering and nobody's really listening to each other, I think that's where this is coming from right now, because we don't have any clarity. Nobody's showing us anything. We're seeing flip-flopping. We're seeing unsure. We're seeing unfounded and unproven, basically, lies being spouted out. And that's just sowing all kinds of discourse with everything. A perfect example, let me tell you something else too. So for this Christmas holiday, we had a couple of packages that we ordered. And of course, they were being sent through U.S. Postal Service. One of those packages we are just now getting, the 6th of January. So some people got their presents very late. Let me tell you something too. Was it earlier this year? Was it last year? when Donald Trump started to talk about the United States Postal Service and how much of a failure they were and how bad of a service it was. You know, he started those seeds. He started to sow those seeds of distrust with the U.S. Postal Service some time ago, before the election. And I think he tried to use that to discount mail-in ballots. I think that was his play from the beginning, to try to make sure that mail-in ballots were discounted, saying that they were fraudulent, saying that they were fake. But you got to remember, his mishandling of this pandemic is what caused people to not want to go vote in person in the first place. So you've got his followers, his people that think that the coronavirus was a hoax and that it was no big deal, it was nothing to worry about. Those were the people that were going to be out voting in person, majority. And the people that did not subscribe to what Donald Trump was saying, those were the people that were going to mail in ballots in a lot of cases. So, of course, on election day, when when they started counting and they counted the in-person votes first, that's where Donald Trump got this big lead from. That's where it seemed like he was winning. But then when they went back and they counted the mail-in ballots, the ballots of the people that did not want to be face-to-face with other people that were not taking the coronavirus seriously, that's when Joe Biden caught him and beat him. I believe that's what happened in the Georgia runoffs that just happened recently. That's why the Democrats won both of those Senate seats in Georgia. And it was the same exact thing. The in-person votes were counted first. The Republican senators were in the lead. And then I remember, I was watching it on the news. It was one point where they were counting DeKalb County. And all of a sudden, not only was the Democratic senator who was losing, not only did he catch his Republican peer, he actually passed them by a couple of 100,000 votes. And it happened like in a matter of 30 seconds. So that's what happened. Like, he sowed this mistrust with the United States Postal Service, and he tried to make it about mail-in ballots. But unfortunately, he ended up affecting everything. So we just got some Christmas presents that were just delivered through United States Postal Service that were scheduled to be here like on the 20th of December. Like, we ordered those presents in plenty of time. But because of everything that was going on, United States Postal Service was struggling this year, and I kind of feel sorry for them. You know, my father, he worked for the United States Postal Service for years, for as long as I can remember. He was working, I don't think he ever did, like, the delivery service. I think he was, like, one of the people that was sorting and processing at the plant or whatever. But just seeing some pictures of people that still work with the United States Postal Service on social media, they were swamped, y'all. Like, they had... It was no chance of really anything going on because they were underfunded. The guy that was actually in charge of the United States Postal Service, he was a vocal Trump supporter. He had donated money to Trump's campaigns and so on and so forth. He cut hours back. He denied them money. They were taking down post office service boxes in certain locations. Like, what was that about? Why would you take down the big blue mail service boxes? Some of those were removed in certain areas. I mean, I can get into a whole conversation about certain places where they were removed from, but that's neither here nor there. But why would you want those removed unless you were planning on trying to make sure that people that were voting by mail were not going to get counted? So, but anyway, lacking of leadership is the reason why we got our Christmas presents here on the 6th of January instead of before Christmas Day. But we got them. People got their presents, their late presents. So that's not that it's done. But anyway, high performance created through alignment, alignment created through clarity. Clarity is given to us by leaders. So, outstanding leadership qualities. You want to be an example. You don't want to be the kind of leader that kind of cracks the whip and says, here, go do this, and here, go do that. You want to be participating in that. At times, a leader gets their hands dirty along with the rest of the crew. Now, on the same token, you want to extend your hand to help in certain situations. You don't want to pick up and carry people because you know if you give a person a crutch, you'll teach them how to limp. But you do want to offer your hand. You do want to offer help when it's needed, but you want to let people find their own way. And then you want to praise the behavior that you want to see more of. Like, seriously praise the good that you want to see. Also, being a leader, you have to realize that you might have failed at something, but you are not a failure. It is very important how you articulate this, how you speak about yourself, how it's very, very important of how you perceive yourself. Because being in a leader, being in a leadership role, if you're not on your A game, if you're not where you need to be, then you're no help to nobody else. So you got to be careful about some of that. Just because you might have failed at something, that does not make you a failure. You're going to make mistakes. Mistakes do not make you. So let me give you a couple of difference between like a leader and a manager, because I've been actually both. Yeah, if anybody that knows me, I work in food service industry, and I always kind of find myself being, I always end up being sort of a supervisory role, like as a management role. And to be honest, I can't stand it. One of the traits, one of the distinguishing traits between being a leader and a manager is why I could not stand being a manager. So being in the kitchen cooking, that's my thing. Like, I love doing it. I feel free when I'm cooking. People stand there and watch me as I'm cooking. They can tell that my whole demeanor changes when I get into a kitchen. So being a manager kind of takes me out of that. And all of a sudden, I'm in charge of other people. I'm in charge of making sure people get that feeling that I get when I'm cooking, which is actually impossible to do. Like, you either have that feeling or you don't. Like Michael Jordan, the best basketball player on the planet, when he became an owner of a team, he couldn't put his team together properly because he sucked at that. He's the best basketball player on the planet, but he can't show people how to be the best basketball player on the planet, if that makes any sense. Same thing. And everybody out there has that thing that they do that's so effortless. It's easy for you to do, but you can't show other people how to do it. You know, it's like your thing. It's like your spiel. So difference between a manager and a leader and why you need both. And they're kind of the yin and yang of running a business or being a volunteer or anything that you want to aspire to. You actually do need both of them because they kind of hold each other in balance. Now, a leader figures out the right things to do. A manager does the things right. Leadership has to do with quality. Management has to do with efficiency. You know, a leader figures out what, where, and why. A manager has to figure out the how and by when. A leader casts a vision, gives everybody hope for moving into the future and paints that picture of what is possible. The manager just makes sure that the train shows up on time and the people have the resources that they need to complete their tasks. Leaders are concerned with people. Managers are concerned with the process. You know, leaders lead people. Managers manage work. People follow leaders, you know, but people report to managers. Leaders look towards the horizon while managers look toward the bottom line. A leader champions a vision and a manager drives goals. Leaders can sell people on visions and their lofty ideas. Managers tell people what to do and they focus on quotas. Leaders take risks. Managers, they minimize risks. Leaders will challenge the status quo while managers maintain that status quo to the best of their abilities. You know, leaders chart new paths and blaze new roads. Managers follow a map. Now, I can tell you, being in both positions, actually, I kind of feel more like, when it comes to a kitchen, when it comes to cooking, I kind of feel more like a leader. I don't feel like a manager. When you put into that management role, you're taken away from the thing that you love to do. That's why some businesses actually fail, because they have people who should be in leadership positions. They make them into a manager instead of having them do their thing that they're really good at. they try to convert them into somebody that tries to tell other people how to do that thing really good. And, you know, a lot of people, they can't do that. A lot of people are really content with doing that thing that they're doing. And if somebody else is not going to do it, people jump in and they do it themselves. Have you ever been in that position? You ever been in that position where you're doing something, whether it be on your job or whether it be on your hobby or whatever, and if you're involved with other people, there are certain tasks that some people just jump in and they just do themselves. They figure that other people just get in the way, like, you know, just move out of the way, I'll just do this myself, you know, because I can do it better. That's basically what they're saying. And that's the difference between that manager and that leader. Now, if you're running a business, you want to run a successful business, unfortunately, you need both. And you need to find people that are okay with being in that position of, you know, cracking the whip and telling people where to go, what to do, what time to do it, how fast to have it done. And then your leaders are your people that can, that inspires other people, that gets people to follow them, to buy into like the vision, to keep people motivated to just do the work basically, but do it in a way that, you know, other people can't do it. You see it all the time on like sports teams, you know, like the player that always puts up the most points or that puts up the most stats, they're not always like considered the leader in the locker room. It's always that fireball spirit, that person that can rally their teammates and get them to go out on the field and give it their all. Those end up being the leaders in the locker room. It's not always necessarily the people putting up the most points or the most stats or whatever it is. So, and that's what I have for you guys today. I hope you can kind of see the difference. Whichever slot you fall in, it's fine. Some people were managers. Some people are born to be managers. Some people actually do better as leaders. And there's nothing wrong with either one. Like I said, you need both of them. I'm just saying in my profession, in restaurant and food service industry, I do better in the kitchen, cooking or dealing with putting, you know, plates together or food together. I do a lot better with that than going out and dealing with the hospitality side, talking to people and making sure everybody's having a good time while they're enjoying, well, you know, not too much of that going on now with COVID, but but you get the idea. So question of the day is, where do you guys believe that you fall in on this particular category? Are you a manager or are you a leader? And do you know how to recognize them now? So that's what I have for you guys. I want to thank you very, very much for joining me. Let's look into this new year. Let's look into 2021 with nothing but hope and optimism. And, you know, look to build bridges. Let's look to try to understand each other instead of trying to tear other people down. I noticed a big migration here. There's another social media website called Parler, and it seems like all the people that were, you know, getting their posts flagged on, like, say, Facebook or Twitter, they're migrating over to Parler. And Parler is one of those sites where, you know, it's kind of right-leaning site because they just allow people to say whatever they want, whatever conspiracy theories, whatever baseless claims that they have, they're just allowing that. Unfortunately, they feel that that's what's right. Now, I'm all for the First Amendment, the freedom of speech, but there's got to be a line that's got to be drawn somewhere. Like, you can't say things that's going to cause somebody else to go out and do harm. Yeah, it's a very fine line. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. Unfortunately, I don't have the answer for that. But what I do know is that there are some steps that Facebook and Twitter has taken. I believe, like, when everything happened, Twitter banned Donald Trump's account for like 12 hours. And I think Mark Zuckerberg actually came out and made a statement and saying that he was going to ban Donald Trump for life, I think. You know, we'll see how it goes. But words have power. The things that you say, they do affect people. That whole sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. No, that's not true. Words matter. Words hurt. Words can persuade people. The way that you want people to be inspired and look towards the future with hope and optimism, the exact opposite can be done with opposite words. So, 2021, y'all, let's be mindful, and let's look for optimism. Let's look for the good in things. Look for the good in yourself, and that's what'll make you. That'll be the determining factor between you being, you know, a leader or a manager. So, thank you guys very much once again. I can't say that enough to you guys. Let's have a great 2021. Hope y'all have an awesome weekend. And I will talk to you guys in the next one.